One way to measure our response to the challenges of climate change is by looking at transit maps. Seriously, they've evolved a lot over the past decade as our use of light rail and subways has increased. That's good news, environmentally speaking. That's according to Mark Ovenden. His 2003 book, Transit Maps of the World, was just updated this year.
Well, the great news is that since we first put the original book together, there are so many more metro, light rail, streetcar, subway systems around the world that we just had to do a new version of it. And I'm really pleased to say that every single map within the original book has been replaced by a new contemporary map. And even the examples of those vintage historic maps looking back in time, all of those are fresh as well.
So this is a reflection of an overall increase in entire transit systems, not to mention new lines added onto old metros and transit systems?
Exactly. I mean, if you think about something like China, when we were writing the book in the beginning of the early 2000s, there was only a handful of metro systems there. Well, now there's something like 18, and by 2020, there's going to be 37 metro systems just in China. Almost every city is going to have its own urban rail system. Even the Americas now has 20 full metros and 33 light rail systems. So, I mean, around the world, people are beginning to realize the benefits of building a brand new transit system or extending the one they already had.
So in terms of green transportation, this sounds like a good thing. What do the experts that you've spoken with as you were putting this book together tell you?
Well, obviously, anyone using public transport and not using their car is contributing to less pollution and helping save the planet. Good transit map design gets people to use a system to recognize that it's a great system and it's easy to use. If you're looking at a simple transit map and you think, oh, I can go from A to B without taking my car, that hopefully is better for the environment.
Your presentation is pretty darn exhaustive. What are the cities that kind of surprise you that now have subways?
A lot of people are still quite surprised that LA has a subway. And I remember going on the Red Line when they first opened it in the 90s, and it's just fantastic that LA, which is the city everyone thought was dominated by the car, is really doing great efforts to invest in more public transport. So that's kind of one of my favorite ones in the US. Mm. And there are places like Izmir in Turkey. They've got like a full metro system there now. You've got the Gold Coast in Australia goes in the book for the first time. There's just all over the world, there's new exciting developments. And some of the maps are very beautiful as well.
Yeah, so talk about that a bit. Is there ever kind of a impulse to ride a subway when that subway has a beautiful map?
I think it plays a part. It's having that confidence that you're going to be able to get on a reliable, fast, frequent system, and you're going to be able to get from where you start to where you want to go easily. The Tokyo Metro, you know, it's a very, very complicated, dense system. But the map does actually help. And they've got this new system now in a lot of Southeast Asian countries, where they don't just number the stations, they also letter the lines. So you can literally go from station A22 to C41 and change at D15, and you're there. And that makes life a lot easier, especially when you've got a really big system.
What city created the template for the kind of common maps that we see now for subways around the world, the kind of almost electronic schematic? Was it London?
There was originally the belief that London was the creator of that particular style of mapping. But, you know, there's been a bit of research since that was first put forward, and it does look as if there might have been a very early geometric design for the Berlin S-Bahn a couple of years before Harry Beck did his famous London Tube map. But certainly the colour-coded lines, the expanding of the central area, the ability to give enough space to write the text name of the station as well as see where the station is, very clear interchange symbols. Those kind of ideas, which are kind of now standard metro or transit map looks, certainly originated probably from Harry Beck's original ideas. And I love the way that this iconography is being taken up by other people now. So you get maps of the human body and all the arteries done like a subway map. You get things like the solar system shown in a kind of subway map standard. So those ideas, the iconography of subway maps is definitely coming out from the world of transit.
You know, Mark, who uses these maps anymore? Because, like, when I go to New York City now, I pop up an app that tells me exactly what trains I need to transfer to and the shortest direction to get to my destination.
Oh, good question. And there is a lot of concern that these beautiful schematics represented in the book may not necessarily last because everyone uses little apps like that that perhaps rely on Google Maps or Bing or one of the other online maps, and that literally tell you to turn left or right on this street and don't show you the network map. But I still think that there's a place for them, and some metro operators could probably do with putting them back on the front page of their websites, because they're kind of sometimes a bit difficult to find. So I think we're always going to need a network map, but more and more people are going to integrate them with digital devices, yeah.
Well, Mark, thanks very much for curating these historic maps and for reminding us of, frankly, their beauty. Mark Ovenden, the author of Transit Maps of the World, thanks so much.
Enjoy the journey.